Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board as we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day and invite others to do so. It's our joy to have you participate with your calls, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of today. Today we're talking about how should we then live? That's a quote from Ezekiel 33 and verse 10. In Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're already aware of the fact that we are living in a world of chaos, confusion, conflict, and it seems to be getting worse and worse each day. And you're exactly right. According to the Bible, it will get worse and worse. Not better and better, but as little boy says, badder and badder. Each and every day, as we grow closer and closer to the rapture of the church. We're going to be talking about some of the events that we see taking place today and how they fit into the long scheme of things in the chronology of the written revealed word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the word of God, the truth book, as I call it. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that will use a portion of that verse and simply say the truth shall make you free. Yes, it does. But what truth? It's the truth of the word of God. Jesus said, if you continue, stay, constantly dwell in my word, then you're my disciples, followers. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Staying in the word of God is the only source of real truth. There are multitudes today that try to fabricate truth, have their own truth, their own facts, etc., etc. But Jesus says that the only truth is he himself. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Then he points to John 17:17, and the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the fountainhead of what we say, do, or think. Truth is something that is not sought for today. Truth is something that's retaliated against, rebelled against, rejected, and ridiculed as perhaps no other time in the history of mankind. It's George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel, 1984. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be so relevant today. There's a disdain for any person that stands for truth, anyone that says thus and so and points to the Word of God in particular. It was Jerry Nadler, one of the U.S. House of Representative members from the rancorous Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party, that made the statement on one occasion when one of the ones in the House of the Senate, in the well of the Senate, speaking, one of the representatives reading from the Scripture. Jeremy Nadler made a snide remark publicly, said God's Word has no place in the halls of the Congress. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we find taking place today is a revulsion, a rejection, a ridiculing, and refusal to hear the truth. This is the reason I have been so encouraged from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint in his statement. You know, he warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me read you one brief paragraph from his three-page article on that subject. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is true. We've gotten to the point in society today where in many, if not most, denominations, it's not a matter of what the Word of God says, thus saith the Word of God. It's a matter of philosophy and ideology and some societal bent that makes the determination on what's preached and what's taught. It's the reason so many today that claim to be Christians do not know what a Christian worldview means, do not know what a biblical Christian worldview would contain. And therefore, they embrace anything that sounds, as I call it, has the fuzzies, and it just makes you feel good. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement I've quoted many, many years. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that before the rapture of the church comes, as Christians, we will face death if we stand for truth of the Word of God. We're rapidly seeing the foreshadowing of that today. We're rapidly watching that unfold before our eyes in society today. Christians ridiculed, made fun of, denied access to things that others have, but we need to understand that God is still in control. God's still on the throne. God's not abandoned us, even though sometimes it may look that way based on the escalating of the evil that's taking place in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about professional lawn care or the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark that you can identify very quickly and easily, the location of Tools for Time. At the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast is designed to get our attention and that we might focus on the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and to allow God's Word to make the determination how we should respond to the things that's taking place in our society today. Let me remind you that telephone is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Scripture, the Bible is very, very clear in the Timothy text that perilous times shall come, and I believe perilous times have arrived. So you might ask the question, what does the word perilous mean? Perilous times shall come. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, heartbreaking, if you will, dangerous. May I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place in our society today, is the dark, dangerous, deadly scenario that's taking place across the nation and around the globe. But I have hope for you, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a matter of darkness and devastation that we should focus on, but the one that controls those events in society. It is God Himself that's still on the throne, that's still sovereign, that still is in the full control of all that takes place in our nation and around the globe. And God's Word says in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, God's Word gives us God's details of what's going to take place. Let me just touch on this. All of these comments now and what we're saying about what the Scripture says are introductory material to where we're going, and this gives us the guidance as to what we ought to do and what we need to expect and what we need to understand is taking place that reveals the dark, dangerous, devastating days, which are called the perilous times. Jesus' disciples ask him the question, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? That's in Matthew 24, the third verse. Matthew 24, the fifth and following verses, the scripture says this: "For many shall come to me in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." We have deceivers today that proliferate the globe. Deceivers that say they're preaching the word. Deceivers that say that God told me to say this, this, and this. In fact, you can study the 23rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And these false teachers, false prophets, false God talkers would tell the king, everything's going to be all right. You don't have to worry. We talked to God, and God told us to tell you. God told us to tell you this, tell you that, tell you the other. And Jeremiah responded and said, listen, according to God, God said, and this is poor grammar, but it makes a point, God says to these false prophets, I ain't never talked to you. And yet you're telling the king that I told you to tell him thus and so. It is the false prophets today that proliferate. It's the false teachers, preachers today that cause many to believe that somehow, some way, we should just sit in silence. We should simply be pacifist and not say or do anything about what's happening with our government and say everything's going to work out in the end. We need to recognize it and leave it alone. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply God talk. That's simply unreal. That's simply not true biblically. And then the scripture goes on to say in verse 6, 7, and 8, I'll read them, then we'll talk about them and how it integrates into this broadcast today and what I want us to understand. The scripture says in the 6th, 7th, and 8th verse, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for, it's the Greek word gar, because all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all of these are only the beginning of sorrows. It talks about further things that will take place. Many shall profit, many false prophets shall stand, shall deceive many, etc. Verse 11, and then in 12 and following. But ladies and gentlemen, we find the Word of God is true, real, and without exception. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It makes no errors. God makes no mistakes. God's Word has no errors in them. But ladies and gentlemen, when we see what it says in that text, let me just point out two or three things about those verses that I've read. First of all, the scripture says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. You can take a globe and spin it, close your eyes and spin it, place your finger on it, and there'll be some kind of conflict, militarily speaking, taking place in that part of the globe. It is happening on a proliferating basis around the globe today. Here's an article that says the IDF approves plans to attack Iran. Here's when it's ready. As talks amid the returning Iran to the 2015 nuclear agreement remain stalled, and Tehran continues its unprecedented uranium enrichment, the Israeli Air Force has embarked on a highly specialized training program in preparation for a strike on the Islamic Republic. Because preparations for the mission will take months at a minimum, Israeli security officials are hoping that Iran's nuclear development program will be curbed by international pressure or sanctions in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden is on his knees kissing the boots of the Iranians, begging them to go back into the Iranian nuclear deal. They're laughing at him because I believe they already have the nuclear capability, but they're waiting until they have a larger amount before it is announced that they have a nuclear weapon. I believe they have it today. I believe they're setting ready. I believe they're waiting and eager to unleash something on the nation of Israel. Israel is right when they want to preemptively that strike, make a preemptive strike against Iran. This article says, Iran's air defense systems are significantly more advanced than those in Syria, and strike would be likely to be met with serious retaliation. The challenge we face are not only growing, and therefore we need to be one step ahead of the enemy, that's Iran, Israel talking. The IAF trains routinely to be ready for a broad array of emergency scenarios. That's Israel talking about understanding and realizing that Iran is waiting, eager, ready, angry, and armed to the teeth, ready to strike. And as soon as they get a nuclear device, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to watch the proliferation of that in the Middle East. And if you want to understand what God is doing, watch God's prophetic time clock. It's called Israel. Israel is the hour hand. Jerusalem is the minute hand. And as we see the minute hand sweeping closer to the hour hand in these last hours and these last days, I am here to tell you, based on the authority as a student of the Word of God, that we're watching the perilous times, the dark, dangerous, difficult, evil days taking place, and it is increasingly so. It seems as though these dark, difficult days are increasing, and they are. It seems as though the days are shorter and the nights are longer, if you will, in relationship to the future of what we see taking place. But there's hope, because my Bible says that before all of these things take place, these are signs, Simeon's road markers, the Bible talks about. They're signs of the end times. They're signs for what God is saying will take place before the end times wrap up. These are signs that we see taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, before all of the cataclysmic events take place of the tribulation, the church is going to be raptured out. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have said yes to Him, you have been blood bought, Bible saved, born again. We won't be here when the culmination, the apex of all of these prophetic texts take place, because we will have already been raptured out. But the scripture says, wars and rumors of wars, nations shall rise against nation, and famine and pestilences, that is a variety of diseases. Could you call AIDS and COVID-19 and things of that nature the pestilences, the variety of diseases? Absolutely, unequivocally. And my Bible says that these things will proliferate in the last days. And we're watching it take place. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The cognitively impotent president called Joe Biden, seated in the Oval Office, has just signed an authorization for $125 million of taxpayer money to be expended on searching for, looking for, 10,000, the article said, 10,000 new COVID variants. Now, why would we be searching for 10,000 new COVID variants? It's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, it will be bringing about the fulfillment of the written, revealed, inspired Word of God, where it talks about the earthquakes will take place, diverse places. It talks about the famine and pestilences. The word pestilences means diseases. We're watching the increase of the variant kind of diseases and the mutation of all of those diseases, and it shall increase as we get into the last days further and further. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, ladies and gentlemen, today we see the nation of China and Russia and North Korea and Iran and Syria all in various stages of rattling their sabers against each other, and for the most part, against America. Now, when you look at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you see the coming war with Russia, where Russia and five allied nations, all of which are controlled at that time, totally controlled by the Islamic jihadists. Yes, it will be an Islamic jihadist invasion, the coming Islamic invasion. I wrote a book by that title some 4 or 5 years ago, and it's still on the horizon. It's still rich, ready, and real. It's still something that is very potential even today. We're watching Biden bring in, so far, over 200,000 Islamic jihadists from Afghanistan. You say, well, why do you call them Islamic jihadists? Because there's a large portion of those that are the Taliban that's being brought in. Have you noticed on some of the news reels, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrat, CNN, Communist Network News, they're not talking about it. But overwhelmingly, we're watching through the Taliban that's being brought in and distributed across America, where we're seeing beheadings take place publicly, where we're watching the female genital mutilation taking place today in America. Those are the things that take place in the fully accepted embrace of the Islamic jihadist in places like Indonesia and other Islamic nations. But it's being brought into America. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about that with China and Russia and North Korea and Iran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all now getting ready with their targets and eyes set on America, I'm looking at some thoughts that I think that we need to understand. China's about to go to war with Taiwan. What are we going to do? We're supposed to defend her. Will we do so? Will America protect Taiwan? No, the Biden administration will not. I believe that we'll sit back and we'll talk. And I believe that China will ultimately dominate all of Taiwan. I believe that they're set and ready. They've been having military exercises off the coast of Taiwan simply to flex their muscles and show how powerful they are. And I believe Biden will find some way to try to talk his way out of our defense of Taiwan. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, China has been flexing its military muscles around the world. In August of this year, with their missiles test. In fact, they had a missile test, ladies and gentlemen, that they shot off a missile. It circled the globe and then hit the target that was so designated to do so. We've never done that as the American technologists. We've never done that through the American military. They are absolutely advanced in their technology and their military capability and prowess more than America. China is showing its military powers today, testing that hypersonic missile. The hypersonic missile that China placed in the around the world travels at 5 times the speed of sound. That missile went around the globe before it made its mark as the intended target. China's hypersonic weapons are far more advanced, ladies and gentlemen, than the political military in America realized. And China today, ladies and gentlemen, controls much of the world's advanced technologies. Of course, they're all stolen from America. But China is in basic control. Guess who took over the control of Afghanistan when Joe Biden so ineptly pulled out? When he did not have the cognitive ability to understand what would take place, he allowed his advisors to run the show. He allowed Barack Hussein Obama, that is the puppeteer, to make the decision. Right today, China is in control of Afghanistan. Afghanistan has the world's largest, widest, longest airport in the world. And it's under control now of China. China today controls much of the world's advanced technologies, all stolen from America. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this, he accuses China of deep subversion of the United States, end quote. He accuses China of deep subversion of the United States, end quote. And he's exactly right. They today have Joe Biden in their pocket. Why is that so? Because the Biden cabal, the Biden family thieves, along with Hunter Biden, the son, have collected hundreds of millions of dollars of graft money, bribery money, from China, from Ukraine, from Russia. How can we as a nation have a president in the Oval Office that is absolutely in submission and subjection to China and Russia and Ukraine and Iran and other nations and expect them to defend the United States of America? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm answering the question that's asked about today's broadcast. How should we then live? With all of these things that we see taking place, how should we live? How should we respond? Here's an article that says Syria targets U.S. soldiers in drone strike. You've not heard this, maybe one or two peeps on Fox News, but you've not heard it on the news reels. October the 21st is the date. News reports reveals that U.S. troops stationed in Syria were targeted in a deliberate and coordinated drone strike against American soldiers. The spokesman for U.S. Central Command, Captain Bill Urban, confirmed that the drone strikes occurred, but there was no report of how many U.S. injuries. Further, the article states, based on initial reports, the attack utilized both unmanned aerial systems and indirect fire. Urban said, that's the Captain Bill Urban, said all U.S. personnel have been accounted for thus far, and we're not aware of how many injuries the U.S. personnel may have had at this time. Urban added that the U.S. Central Command is continuing to work with our partners to confirm whether they suffered any casualties as a result of the deliberate attack from Syria. Syria attacking America. Now, under the Trump administration, you have not heard of that. It would have been unheard of, unthought of, undesirable. They would not have attempted such. You know why? Because Trump would have gone in and cleaned their clock. There would not have been a question as to how do we respond as American military if we are attacked by Syria. It has been done. Nothing's been said. Iran's done the same thing by drone strikes against our ships out in the ocean. And yet each time it said, well, we didn't have any soldiers killed. So therefore, we're just going to leave it alone. And with strong, strong talk, we're going to say, don't you ever do that again. That does not get the attention, ladies and gentlemen, of the enemy. But may I hasten to say, ladies and gentlemen, with all of this being said, with all of this taking place today, we're watching the variety of nations rattling their sabers against America. And ladies and gentlemen, today China is the one that controls most of the world's export goods, including the basic economic engines for America. Did you know that China controls most of the medications that's shipped in for American doctors and hospitals to administer during the course of illnesses and disease for Americans? And it is under the control of China. China's already threatened that if we do anything in retaliation about the imports, exports, and what they do, that they'd simply cut off the medical supplies to America. How should we then live is the question today, ladies and gentlemen. The Biden administration has sold America out to Russia and China and Iran. So how should we then live? Multitudes of Christians today, ladies and gentlemen, listen to that, hear what I'm saying, and they think, well, God's in control, God's on the throne, and he is. God is sovereign. Listen very carefully. God is sovereign, but there's the free will of man that comes into play. We have the total of Scripture that's pre-written as to what's going to happen in the world, but yet we find throughout all of Scripture where man made decisions to do this, that, or the other, some good, some bad, but God takes it all because of his sovereign foreknowledge, and he has pre-written what the end results are going to be. Man is created in the image of God. Man has mind, will, and volition. Man is created as a free moral agent. Man has the responsibility of honoring God and not government. When government comes into play and is against what God's word says, man has the responsibility to honor God first. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we're finding today what is called the death of truth. Here's an article entitled "The Death of Freedom in America." Ronald Reagan warned that unless we fight for liberty, we would one day have no way to explain to our children what happened. Today, we have to explain to the younger generation what it is like when freedom of religion, freedom and freedom of speech, freedom of press, even to be secure from unreasonable search and seizures, we cherished in America. So will the American people fight for their liberty, or will we just sit by and watch it be destroyed? That was Ronald Reagan, ladies and gentlemen, many, many years ago. In his speech, Time for Choosing, he said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We did pass it on to our children. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-thought-out lessons of how they, in their lifetime, must do the same thing. And if you and I do not do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like when America was a free nation. Ronald Reagan's words, this article says, comes very true. We now live in a country where we have to explain to the rising generations what it will be like to live in America where people are free. While this day has been coming for decades, recent events show us that the real level of rot and decay when it comes to your rights and liberties is now taking place. No longer must those of us cherish our freedom and liberty concerned ourselves only with the acts of government. Today's business, society, and even neighbors are out to crush the last vestige of our rights and liberties that we enjoy. It's not that we weren't warned in days gone by, but we, like so many other situations, we never thought it would happen in our lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, it's on the doorsteps. It is before us now. How should we then live? What should we do to protect our liberties and our freedoms, our God-given liberties, our God-given freedoms that's codified in our Constitution, confirmed by the U.S. courts, and to be carried out by we the people? How should we then live? What should we do? That's the decision that everyone under the sound of my voice must make. You must make the decision, will I stand for truth? Will I stand for liberty? Will I be willing to defend it and defend truth even to death? Will I be willing to do that? That's a question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered for everyone under the sound of my voice today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of if there comes that chaos, confusion, and calamity. It's a matter of when it comes, and it's on our doorsteps today. How should we then live? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, we want to continue this dialogue and discussion right after the top of the hour news. But I want to invite you, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue the thought today. How should we then live? We're going to get into the vaccination. We're going to get into the COVID passports and all of that. And based on that, how should we then live? Be right back. Don't turn your dial.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.